morning, everyone. I'm Penny Walker. I'm the Director of Children's Ministries. If this is your first time visiting, Matt Lipan, our lead pastor, is taking some much-deserved time off of preaching, spending some time at his sister's wedding up in Michigan. So you got me this week. Last week, I preached. I got a little bit of feedback. Of course, it was from my sisters. So, you know. And they said, boy, this is my kind of church, in and out in 35 minutes. So I will tell you, it's probably going to be a little brief, but I'm going to talk to Matt. He's going to preach for like 2 hours next week, so you're going to make up for it. He'll teach you more. So we're going to continue on our sermon series about superheroes of the Bible. This is what we did through VBS the last 2 weeks. We had a very successful VBS at Fortville. Fortville is our second campus, and we had a great time out there with about 20 kids. So it was a really good and fulfilling week, I think, for everybody that was involved. But we talked about traits of people in the Bible that God sees in us as superheroes. So we started with Abigail 3 weeks ago and talked about she had courage. She stood up to the 400 soldiers. She went and fought for what was right. Then we talked about the Beatitudes, that superheroes have hope, that the Beatitudes give us hope. Last week we talked about David, and that superheroes have heart, that God sees our heart, maybe not our outer self, don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing. He sees what's inside of us. Well, today we're going to jump to the New Testament. So we're all over the Bible, and we're going to talk about superheroes having wisdom. But before we do this, I'm going to go ahead and pray for us really quickly. Father, thank you again for gathering us together in this church. I ask that you remove the distractions we may have felt walking in today. Help us to open our minds and our hearts so that we can better hear you. I ask that the words I speak are yours and not my own. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to jump around, and we're going to the New Testament. When I teach the kids about the New Testament, I say, you always know it's in the New Testament because Jesus is there. So we're going to tell a story about Jesus having wisdom, and I'm going to read it to you. If you're taking notes, our scripture comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And it says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the festival according to custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard them was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then they went down to Nazareth with the rest, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Well, the definition of wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. I think you can be wise and you can be smart. I think some people are wise and they're not smart, and I think some people are smart and not wise. I live with a man who's probably the smartest man in the whole world, not always the wisest man. Great guy, but, you know, sometimes makes non-wisest choices. I do believe Jesus was both. I believe that he is smart and he is wise. First and foremost, I think that Jesus showed wisdom in how he answered Mary. I believe that he answered her with respect. I don't know if any of you have raised a 12-year-old, but if I would have asked my child, where have you been, I probably would have gotten a hand on the hip, you know, a little sass, maybe a little eye roll. I don't believe Jesus did that. I think he was wise because he knew that one of the commandments was to obey your parents. And so he was wise in that way. I think that he was wise because he understood that he had a unique relationship with God. I think the way he answered it was so interesting. It was kind of like, well, where else would I be? Why were you even worried? Where else would I be? And it made me think about times that our children ask, you know, well, where else would I be? Of course I was playing Nintendo, or of course I was doing this. Where else would I be? And it started making me think about, where else would we be except for in church? Where else would we be? And I did a little bit of research, and according to Barma, which is a religious researchy thing, they said regular, it used to be. Now, they didn't give a date. They just said it used to be. Regular attenders of church attended 3 or 4 weekends every month. Now, people who show up once every 6 weeks say that they attend church regularly. They asked people, why don't you attend church? 40% said, we don't attend church because we can find God elsewhere. 35% said, we don't attend church because it's not relevant. But I believe there's more. I'm part of a group of children's ministry directors from all over Indiana that meet. We meet once a month. And we sit down, and it's a great group because we're able to say, oh, what are you doing for VBS? Can I borrow this or can I borrow that? And, you know, we swap ideas. But the topic that comes up more and more is church attendance. What are we doing? How do we get these families to come? And we often talk about, why don't they come? And I think they don't come because of a lot of reasons. My daughter is getting ready to start marching band. She's part of a marching band, very competitive marching band here in central Indiana. She will start marching band tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. But their director's rule is if you're on time, you're late. So she will get there at 9:15, and she will practice from 9:15 till 9:15 p.m. is when we pick them up. And she will do this for the next 2 weeks. Then school will start, and she will practice, I think it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights from 3:45 to 6:30, Tuesday and Thursday from, I don't know, like 6 to 9, and then every other morning she has to be at school at 6 a.m. and practices until 8 a.m. And then she has a football game on Friday night and a contest on Saturday. And we've made that commitment, and she does it. She goes to it. But when you ask people why they don't go to church, some of the comments we get, well, we're too tired. It's the only day we get to sleep in. It's our family time. We have pancakes we have pancakes every Sunday morning, like, you know. We had soccer practice, and we had band practice, and we had all these things. And I'm as guilty as the next guy that Sunday morning rolls around and that kid is exhausted. And I say, you get a free pass on this. But it made me think about when I read the scripture about where else would I be but my Father's house? How am I doing her a misservice, letting her miss what I think is the most important part of her week? I would never consider letting her miss marching band practice because she was too tired, because she's going to be tired from now till November. I would never consider that, but I would consider letting her miss church. So I did a little more research, and I wanted to just give you guys this visual because I hang out with children, so I think visuals are important. This is 936 M&Ms. I counted every last one of them myself. Each one of these M&Ms represents a Sunday that you have with your children from birth to age 18. So all these M&Ms. This is 648. This represents how many Sundays you have once they start first grade. So you can tell my bowl's getting smaller. And this is 208. This represents how many you have once they start high school. So as you can see, our time is limited. We think that we have all this time and, oh, we're not going to go this week because we're tired. But every time you think that, you're taking one out. And your bowls are just getting smaller anyway. Well, as a church, I think that we provide a lot of opportunities for us to be in God's house. And I think that's very evident in just the three words that we use all the time: living, learning, and loving. We provide a space for us to live together. Matt talks about come with your messiness, live with your messiness. We provide that, I believe, just from the donuts and coffee. It's a time that we get to talk. We get to spend some time living together. We are starting a meals ministry. We have, which I lovingly refer to as a biker gang, that meets up here on Saturdays. Nothing more than to just ride bikes and live life together. Our learning aspect, I think that we have more than ample opportunities for us to learn. When I started thinking about this, I put down a few, and then I thought, oh, goodness, I forgot this group. We have a Monday morning Bible study. We have a Monday evening Bible study. We have life groups that meet. We have a Sunday morning Bible study that happens back there. We have Sunday school for children. We have choir. We have praise band. We have Encompass that's starting up. I would encourage you that if you're not a part of this, last week I talked a little bit about my faith journey in that I didn't know anything. Don't feel like in order to learn, you have to know everything. And I think in the scripture, that's pretty evident. Like Jesus was asking questions. He wanted to know. He didn't know everything. He wanted to learn. So show up for Bible study. And if you have to dust off your sixth grade Bible with a wet paper towel, so be it. We're still going to welcome you. Encompass starts on the 16th, and we're going to have an opportunity to live together because we're going to have a meal together, and then we're going to have an opportunity to study. We're hoping to start a couple Bible studies during that time, potentially a walking group that would get together, that would walk and pray. But I would also say if there's something that you want, something that your heart is desiring, you know, I really want to learn about, I don't know, Isaiah. Shoot Matt an email. Shoot myself an email. We're in the process of hiring a new connections person. We can start forming groups. You can start forming your own organic group. We have a couple of those formed. We have a Gateway Moms group that meets once a month that, you know, I believe it's just a social aspect, but they have formed this group. They all have a common interest. And then our loving aspect is, we do a great job of this. I don't know if anybody can remember their first time walking through these doors. I sure do. I came from a very large church into a small church, and I remember thinking, oh, I'll be able to slide in. No one will notice. Well, not here. You guys do a great job of loving on the people here. When you see a new person, you make them feel welcome. You show them the coffee. You talk to them. You introduce yourself. If you've ever been to any of our community events, man, that is just an outpouring of love to our community. If you've been to the Easter egg hunt, the chili carnival, the VBS, trunk or treat, I mean, the community comes together to see what Gateway is, and we pour Christ's love on them. We have a preschool that meets here 5 days a week. Some of those kids have never seen or do not know about Jesus Christ, and we are the only face that they're going to see. And we pour into them and show them the love of Christ. I think it's important to remember that we only have so much time. Our M&Ms are quickly dwindling, whether it's for your children, your grandchildren, or even yourself. I mean, you look at it and you think, wow, 18 years from now, I'm going to be, you know, this age. God willing, we only have so much time. And I'm shocked by the wisdom that Jesus said, of course I'm in God's house. Of course I'm here. Where else would I be? I wouldn't be at marching band practice. I wouldn't be playing Nintendo. Of course I'm here. So I just want you this week to think about that we only have so much time, and where are you putting your time? So, amen.